let's get to the way of Christ. The year of opportunity, see, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. No man, no woman, no plan of the enemy, no purpose of the enemy, no thought, no curse, no demon, no devil, nothing can shut the door that the Lord opens. Nothing can shut the door that He has purposed for you in 2025. You and I have expectations of 2025. You and I have plans for 2025. You and I have thoughts of everything we would love to do in 2025. If it is in the will of the Father, then no door can be shut. Then no purpose will not be able to stand in 2025. But I want us to go to Romans chapter 5, 15 and 20. It says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." This morning's sermon is on pleasing God in 2025. Pleasing God in 2025. How do we please Him? How do we fulfill the will that He has for us? And in understanding the will of God, in understanding that He has set before us this great and mighty and open door of opportunity, in 2025, we first have to come to grips with understanding His will. The will of God encompasses His ultimate sovereignty, His desire for humanity's obedience. So He desires for us to obey His will. He desires for us to do His will. He desires for us to fulfill His will. And His allowance of human freedom within the bounds of His purpose. So He's sovereign. He wants us to obey Him. But then He gives us freedom to choose Him. He gives us freedom to choose whether we're going to live according to His will, or whether we're going to live according to His purpose, or whether we want to do what we want to do. There is always a battle of the wills. There is always within us an understanding that God will never push Himself onto us. He creates the opportunity. He sets the scene. He calls us to Himself. He calls unto us. Adam, in the garden, when Adam fell, the Bible says Adam and God had fellowship in the garden, which means that they were consistently in fellowship and friendship. Adam knew God, God knew Adam, but when Adam sins and he falls in sin, the Spirit of the Lord, God, comes in the midst of the garden and God asks, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam says, I have sinned. I've done the thing I'm not supposed to do. And it has now made me to come before you and be shameful of what I've done." And the Lord looks at him. And the Lord is consistently beyond that point in time, calling to each and every one of us through the ages, "Where are you?" Because we have that freedom to choose Him or not. So I'm saying this to the church this morning. Even though He says to us, the guarantee is, "See, I've set before you an open door." It's your choice whether you're going to do His will. The door can be opened. The opportunities can be given to you. But you choose whether you want to obey Him. You choose whether you want to see what you believe God will do in and through you. While His sovereign will is fixed and often beyond our comprehension, His moral will is revealed in Scripture. to guide believers toward righteousness. His sovereign will is fixed. We don't know why God does what he does. We don't know why he sometimes allows certain things to happen in our lives. It's his sovereign will. It is fixed. Therefore, his moral will we must go search for. You and I must understand when his sovereign will is not to our liking, we go and search the scriptures to understand what he wants us to be and to do and where we must be positioned in regards or with regards to his sovereign will. We search the scriptures because he guides us towards righteousness. Both his sovereign will, his moral will, is grounded in his character. He is holy, he is loving, and he is just. He's holy, he is loving, and he is just. So a holy God says to Siloam, for 2025, a loving God says to Siloam, for 2025, I've set before you an open door. No man can shut it. But then his justness says to us, you choose whether you want this or not. You decide whether you're going to walk through that door or not. You decide whether you're going to put your desires above mine. You decide whether you're going to put your needs above my will. Whether you want the fleeting joy and peace and happiness that the world can give you, or you want the eternal joy, the eternal peace that only I can give. In understanding God's will for us, the sovereign will of God is his decretive will. The sovereign will of God is his decretive will. Decretive means that it's unchangeable. It's his commands and it stays the same. You can't do anything to it. It changes not. It stays there. It is his will. So there's the sovereign will of God. This aspect of God's will refers to his ultimate and unchangeable plan, which governs all events in this universe. It includes everything that God has ordained, whether revealed to humanity or not. There are things in 2025. You make your plans. You can see it. I have plans for 2025. I've got a PhD that I need to finish. I need to start finishing my literature review and start finishing all the research I need to do in 2025. So I can see where I want to go in 2025. Some of you, you can see where you want to go. You've got projects you have to finish. You've got plans that you are making for you and your family. You see it in your mind's eye. You see it in your vision. You're using foresight for what you want to do. But there are things that God is going to do that none of us can see. There are places he's going to take us that none of us even have budgeted for. So this is what you need to do then. If there's something coming up that you have not budgeted for, and you know and you've understood that I made my plan, then you must say to him, Lord, if it is your will, you will provide for everything I need to do. You see, God does not give you a desire and not fulfill his desire. God doesn't give you a purpose and he not fulfill his purpose. So if it's a business that must be started in 2025, if it is getting married in 2025, I don't know why, but I'm going to say this. The Lord has said to me on New Year's Eve, you must release marriage in 2025. If I'm looking at you, you better take it. Some of you are, okay, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. There are things we don't know, but he knows. And I'm saying this to the church. These are the things, as Joel said in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, put him to the test. If this is your will, O Lord, then you provide. If this is your will, O Lord, I know you will take me there. I know it will be well with me. How do we know that his sovereign will stands? He says in Isaiah, he says to us that I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. My purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. My brothers and my sisters, we can't fight with the will of God. We can't fight with His will. We have to say like Job, and I've said it a few Sundays ago already, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Though I'm in the valley, I know there will be a mountaintop. Though I'm going through struggle, I know there is release. The burdens I carry, He is more than able and capable to carry. He is God in the midst of everything. In understanding the will of God, there's the moral will of God. This aspect refers to God's revealed commands, His instructions, and laws for righteous living. His instructions, His laws for righteous living. We have it in His word. He speaks His word, and His word accomplishes what He says. So what we are to do is to seek His word, to live according to His command, to live according to His instruction, to live according to His law, to live according in obedience to His word. Yes, His word says, I have set an open door. But if you don't know Jesus, the guarantee to walk through the door is knowing Jesus. The price you have to pay to walk through the door is a relationship with Jesus. So you can be sitting under the sound of our voice in this church, and we can be announcing it to the world, but if you don't know Jesus, you are not entering through that door. How do you know Him? You know Him through His word. In Micah 6, and verse 8, He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? He says to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. So we understand He has got a moral will, a sovereign will, and we have to follow Him. It's His will that will stand in 2025. That's why we must please Him. That's why we must meet His will. I can come on New Year's Eve and we can release the prophetic unction for 2025. We can speak as much as we want, but we don't know the moment we cross over on 12 a.m. that morning into the 1st of January 2025. Maybe the Lord wants something else. But we have to obey. We have to believe. We have to walk with Him. There's the permissive will of God. This aspect acknowledges that God allows certain events and human decisions, even sinful ones, to occur within His sovereign plan. That means that we all sin. We all are sinful. That's what we read where Paul writes in Romans. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, he says, those things I practice. How many things that you practice over this festive season you're not supposed to? How many of us over 8? Huh? You were trifle drunk. The gammon was coming out of your ears. The things I don't want to do. Paul says, I practice those things. God has a permissive will. He allows us, but the beauty of His sovereign will is it always keeps us. That means we can't live in sin. We must repent, get back to Him, and walk the straight and narrow. We must repent, get back to Him, and live in the manner that He wants us to live. So I'm saying this because in 2025, there's going to be the battle of the wills. God's will against my will. God's desire against my desires. God's plans against the battle of the wills refer to the eternal conflict between an individual's own desires, your ambitions and intentions, their will and the will of God. This conflict can arise when an individual's personal goals, aspirations, or values clash with what they believe to be God's plan or purpose for their life. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a fight. Anybody that has a dog understands there's always battles of the will. If your dog is untrained, you're going to always battle. That dog will want to do what they want to do. That's why any of us have got breeds that are big and bad breeds. And I mean, I say bad breeds, I mean aggressive breeds. The one thing they teach you is you have to exercise your authority over the dog. That dog can't tell you what to do. You must tell that dog, hey, Eka's your boss. Because otherwise that dog will eat you and everybody else. So there's a battle of wills. And sometimes we fight God for what is good in our lives. Sometimes we want to tell God, I am the captain of my own boat. I am the master of my own soul. We sing like Frank Sinatra says, I did it my way. It's a nice song. It's a beautiful song, but the children of God can't live by their way. That's why when it's your funeral, please don't play, I did it my way. We've had that here, church. People come in the slideshow, I did it my way. You're like, oh. St. Peter's going to tell you when you get there, you did it your way, right? There's the elevator. The battle of the wills. There's going to be moments when our flesh in 2025 is going to fight against everything that is God. There's going to be moments in 2025 where our flesh will break us down. The battle of the will to be healthy in 2025. Where does it start? It starts with a good diet. It starts with exercise. The battle of the will is not saying, you know what, I want to lose weight, but then March already comes by, you've done absolutely nothing. You're only gaining weight. You're not losing the weight. The battle of the will to be financially secure in 2025 starts with a budget, starts with understanding I can't spend more than what I have. It's a battle against God's will. God will do amazing things in 2025, but it means I must submit. I can't say, Lord, I want it my way. I can't say, Lord, hold on. First me, then you. Doesn't work like that. There will be a battle of the wills. Bible characters and God's will, Bible characters that have a battle with God's will. We had Jacob. Jacob's life was marked by a series of struggles with God's will. He wrestled with God. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Amen. He wrestled with God. Is this your will? Jacob, deceiver. Jacob, one who stole the birthright of his brother. Jacob, the one who actually, he manipulated his father-in-law. Jacob, that one who had no good reputation, but when God meets him, God says, you are no longer Jacob. He says, don't identify with Jacob. What is your name? And the Lord says, your name is Israel. You're a prince of God. When you battle with God, something must change. Jacob walked away with a limp. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah sees the great vision of the Lord sitting enthroned, high and mighty. The Lord says, who will come? Who will go? Who will I send and who will go? And the Bible says, then the seraphim came from heaven, went to the altar, took out coal and touched his lips, touched his mouth. There is something that must change. In 2025, for the open door to be open in your life, you must look different from when you came out of 2024. If you have a limp, it's because I was with God and He changed my life. If I speak differently, it's because He touched my mouth. Something must change. Moses resisted God's call to lead Israel out of Egypt, citing his own inadequacies. Moses, I'm sending you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Lord, I can't speak. But Moses, you grew up in Pharaoh's house. 40 years you were raised with the understanding that Pharaoh has. You know how to speak to Pharaoh, because you were Pharaoh's underling. You understand the protocol. You understand that I'm calling you now. 40 years you've been wandering in the desert as a shepherd, as a man that is just looking after sheep, but now your time has come. There is no inadequacy when God calls you, because he's already prepared you for where you need to go. Yes, you can say, Lord, I can't speak. Then the Lord will say, but I'll bring you somebody that can speak. There is no excuse you can give God that he doesn't have a solution for. There is no excuse. But Lord, my family is the smallest in all of Israel. That was Gideon's. I am the youngest in my family. My family is the most insignificant of my tribe. My tribe is the smallest of all of Israel. The Lord says, you are a mighty man of valor. There is no excuse you can give God that he doesn't have an answer for. God wants to use you in 2025. Jonah famously resisted God's call to preach to the people of Nineveh, fleeing in the opposite direction. He eventually surrendered to God's will and obeyed. You can run as far as you want. You can get on a boat and say, I'm going in the opposite direction from where God wants me to go. He will turn your life around. Even if you have to be in the belly of a whale, he will turn your life around. You and I, even though we are battling against the will of God, my brothers and my sisters, the moment you say, surrender. And you say, Lord, take hold of everything. Peace comes upon you. There are some in this room and those online, you've been running from God. 2025 is your year. Why do you want to go through all the struggles and the troubles of doing it your way? When the Lord says, I'm calling you, step into my flow, step into my purpose. And see what I will do for you. Peter struggled with the battle of the wills when Jesus predicted his denial. He said, Lord, I will never deny you. I'll never give up on you. Jesus says to Peter, 3 times you will deny me. Look, I never. There are people in your life that say the same thing. Me, you and we tight. I'll never let you go. I'm with you. Me, I'll defend you. I'll fight whoever I need to fight for you. Jesus says to Peter, the enemy is knocking. Peter, get away from me. There are people that want to stop the assignment of God in 2025. The assignment of God. I don't want to scare you. But in 2025, some of us are going to walk a very lonely walk. Someone's going to walk a very lonely walk. You are not alone. Let me just say that. You are in this community of faith, so you are not alone. But you're going to walk a lonely walk. Because there are some Peters that the Lord needs to. There are some moments where you need to be in Gethsemane by yourself. You will have three that's your friends, that's close to you. But they can't wait an hour in prayer with you. They are the best prayer warriors this church can give you. But they can't pray the prayer that you're supposed to pray. They are the best intercessors in the world, but they can't pay the price you're supposed to pay. So it's going to be a year of the Lord saying, if my dead door is open, I want you alone to walk through it. Paul, formerly known as Saul, was a zealous persecutor of Christians before his conversion. Before his conversion, he was a zealous, persecutor of Christians. He struggled with his own will and biases, but eventually surrendered to God's will and became a powerful apostle. Persecuted God's people, persecuted the church. Then in Philippians chapter 3, he gives us his whole bio. Chapter 2, excuse me. He gives us his whole bio and he says, you know what? Through God's mercies and grace, I have become all things to all men. Because the gospel needs to reach the world.
Mary, Bishop preached on Mary on Christmas Day. The mother of Jesus was initially perplexed and troubled by the angel's announcement that she would bear a son. She eventually surrendered the will to God's will and said, "May it be unto me according to your word." We've said that a few Sundays ago. So, where am I now? The battle of the wills, there will be resistance to God's will. It will be self-will versus God's will. There'll be doubt and uncertainty that will arise in 2025. But the thing that we must understand, it's God's will over ours. How do we do that? By submission. We surrender one's will to God's will. By trust. Trusting in God's sovereignty and goodness. By obedience. Obeying God's will, even when it's difficult or uncertain. Surrendering, letting go of one's own desires and ambitions, and embracing God's plan and purpose. It will take submission, it will take trust, it will take obedience, it will take surrender. That is how we will subdue our will against God's will. But I want to reach and release a caution for 2025. The caution to consider if we are to flourish in the year of opportunity. Ephesians 5, 10 to 11 says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So if 2025 is the year of opportunity, if God has said it to us, if God has guaranteed to us that I've set the open door, no man can shut that door. No man can close it. Nothing can close it. It is for you and I to find then what is His will. What's His purpose concerning me? If it is that you're going to do this for me and my family in 2025, oh Lord, what is the greater will that I must submit to? What is the greater purpose that I must submit to? What is the greater opportunity that you will bring us to? And then He says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works. I think when I started the sermon, we spoke about assessing ourselves. The sermon series, we started talking about assessing. So you've got how many days left? 2 days? 3 days? 2 days? Until 2025? To ask yourself, what are the unfruitful works that I have fellowship with? That I need to let go of in 2025? What are the unfruitful people I need to let go of? What are the unfruitful thoughts I need to let go of? What are the unfruitful words I need to let go of? What are the unfruitful decisions I make that I need to let go of? Any decision that's going to be uncomfortable, that's going to ask of you to do something, is the right decision. Because you, everything on the inside of you, going to cry out and say, you can't do it. It's uncomfortable. Why do you want to be uncomfortable? Why don't you just leave and leave everything and just let it be? The Lord is saying you cannot have fellowship. The word fellowship is the word partnership. So what is the Lord saying? You can't have partnership with unfruitful works. Raise your hand just for a moment. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, expose every unfruitful work in our lives that we have fellowship with. The time wasters. The things in our lives, oh Lord, that wastes your time. That wastes and battles against your will. Expose unfruitful works in 2025. We cannot have fellowship. We cannot have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Because even though we are saying, family, that God has opened the door, the enemy will do everything to shut the door. The enemy will do everything. No, he can't shut the door. The door is open. The enemy will do everything to stop you from going through the door.
Everything. Everything. The moment you make the decision, something happens, you push through. I said to somebody this year, they came to see me and I said, every step you take, every morning that you wake up, and you decide that today I'm going to do something different than what I did yesterday, and you take that step, it's a step to breakthrough. It's a step to freedom. So when you know that I am about to go through, but then the enemy brings this news and that news and brings lack of money, I push through. I push through. Because if I'm going to push through, I know I am breaking the works of darkness that's holding me back. I'm breaking the works of darkness that is pulling me back. Whatever works of darkness the enemy is trying to bring, it's not going to hold me from where God is taking me. So, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, this church in 2025 will have no fellowship with any unfruitful works. We will do your work. We will perform your will. You will manifest in your power, in your might in this church, and we will see the goodness of the Lord in every opportunity in 2025. Benefits in pleasing the will of God. When a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. If you and I please the will of the Lord in 2025, whatever enemy there may be, whether it is imagined or whether it's real, whether it is your own bloodline, whether it's your own family, your friendships, your community, your workplace, whatever it may be, the Lord will make you at peace with every enemy. They will come and they will say, I am at peace with you. There is no trouble, there's no struggle that others can bring in 2025 because we're pleasing the Lord. Amen. He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I will always do those things that please him. Number one, he will make your enemies at peace with you. Number two, he says, I will be with you if you please me. Number three, he says, 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. He says, whatever you ask, you will receive. That's a guarantee. If you please him, keep his commandments, do the things that are pleasing unto him. He says, if you ask it, I will bring it. Thriving and pleasing God in 2025, it will be spiritual growth. There'll be personal development, relationships and community, stewardship and responsibility. Those are the things. I'm going to send you the notes. You can go through that. But in relationships and community, I want to stand still for a moment because I was listening to Simon Sinek. He was having a conversation with Trevor Noah. And in this very moment, he was starting to cry because he was speaking about a friend of his that reached out to him during a very busy period in his life. And the friend needed help and he couldn't help. And the research that was done says that it takes 8 minutes. Only 8 minutes. Who says yes? You saw the same video. It takes only 8 minutes out of your day to reach out to somebody in distress. And that person will have been fortified. And strengthened. So he says now, him and his friend, they do this thing. No longer do you just send a normal message saying, hey, how are you? How must I know you are in trouble? So they use a code word. They say, can I have 8 minutes? Can I have 8 minutes? It's going to take 8 minutes of your day to reach out to somebody and say, listen, I'm here. What do you need? 8 minutes of your day just to say, I am with you. In 2025, I'm saying this because when we build relationships and community, please use that code word. If you need me to pray for you, send that to me, 8 minutes. If you have my number, send it to me, 8 minutes. You should have your pastor's number. You know that? Just don't call your pastor between 12 and 6 in the morning. Unless it's an emergency. 8 minutes. Because in the community that we are in, it's easy, even in this period of time, to be alone, to be lonely. It's very easy. So I'm saying to you, My accountability to you is I want us to build relationship. I want us to build community. Your accountability should be the same. If you don't reach out, nobody can help you build. So if you need somebody, and I want you to take it, 8 minutes. It only takes 8 minutes to say to somebody, I'm with you. To send a message, to send a prayer, to send something to them that's going to make them feel that I've been touched today. So we want to build relationship. We want to thrive together in 2025. It's going to take faith and trust. And I want us to stand. So I'm saying all of what I'm saying to help us to do the will of God. Because if we're going to see the expectation that the Lord has for us, if we're going to go into where He wants us, it's going to mean that we do His will. Amen. Siloam in 2025, I just want to be pleasing unto God. Amen. I just want to be pleasing unto God. I don't want anything else just to say, Lord, let your will be done. And help me to follow after your will. Because if we do that, if we say to Him, Father, it's your will above ours, then I'm saying to you, at the end of 2025, you're going to have a testimony for every Sunday of 2025. You're going to see the goodness of the Lord in 2025. You're going to experience the blessing of the Lord. There are concerns in your heart right now already. God sees it. He understands it. He knows where you are. And He's saying, submit to me. Give to me. Release unto me. And your 2025, you will see the goodness overflow.